Welcome to Benefit from the Bible. Today, we have a special guest speaker, Dr. Philip Geisler, the head of Team Jesus for Africa. Today, he focuses on part 10 of God with Us. The text is Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 15. God bless your listening.
In the name of the former Babe of Bethlehem, fellow redeemed. Welcome to our New Year's Eve and New Year's Day sermon. There are some key words in the text tonight. Wise men, Herod, Egypt. And our theme is, are you wisely alert to your 2015 surroundings? And the sermon is based on the first 15 verses of the second chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew. And the text would suggest that we begin with this question: how did God make the wise men wise? Well, as to the present, he did it by leading them into the Old Testament scriptures. Let's see what Matthew writes. He says, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea when Herod was king. There's the first mention of Herod. Things revolve around him from a political point of view. Then the wise men came from the east to Jerusalem. Where is the child who was born king of the Jews, they asked. We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. Why were they looking at a star? Why are they called wise men? You've heard them called the magi, from which we get our word magicians. But it's really a word for astronomer or astrologer in a good sense, not in the sense of the tabloids that you see at Giant Eagle as you go out, which reads the fortunes of your zodiac. That's not what they were like. They studied the stars. Why did they do that? Well, 500 years before, there was one of God's prophets who was the head of the Magi in Babylon. His name, Daniel. And Daniel's missionary efforts were still carried on 500 years later, because the sons of those Magi back in Daniel's day were looking for the coming of a child who would come and be born king of the Jews. Whoa! When King Herod heard about it, that the wise men were inquiring in Jerusalem, he became alarmed. Now you have to know something about old King Herod. He was a very fearful man, powerful beyond words, a great inventor and person who could construct great things. But he had his favorite wife, Mariamne, one of his sons put to death because he felt always that there were plots against him. Oh, this would be a great plot if there's a new king being born. And then it says all Jerusalem was alarmed with him. Why were the Jews afraid? They knew that if there was any political upheaval against Herod, he'd go out and start killing them. So the whole place is in an uproar. Well, he called together all the ruling priests and scribes, the religious leaders of the Jews, and he tried to find out from them where the Christ, the Christos, the Mashiach, the Messiah, was to be born. Well, he understands a lot more about things than what we might think. He just didn't believe in this coming Messiah. Well, what did the scribes know? Well, they said, well, he's not to be born in Jerusalem. The prophet, and that would be the prophet Micah, says, in Bethlehem of Judea. Now, the minute you hear that, things should click, because you see, the Messiah was to come from the tribe of Judah, not from the tribe of Levi or Dan or Zebulun, from Judah, and he was going to be born in Bethlehem, where the great king of the Jews had formerly ruled, namely King David. But as Ezekiel said, there would come a new King David. That would be our Lord Jesus Christ. And he also would be born in the same city where David had been born, in the city of Bethlehem. And so they quote the scriptures. Micah chapter 5, especially verse 2, but other parts also up to verse 5. And this is what the prophecy had said. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, there were cities called Bethlehem in the other tribes, but this one refers to Judah. You are by no means the least of the leading towns of Judah. Why? Well, since from you will come a leader who will shepherd my people Israel. Two important points. Number one, those who do not like the Bible, theologians who are liberal and want to tear the word apart, say Matthew made a big mistake. He misquoted scripture. He says that Bethlehem would not be the least among the cities in Judea. Well, what does that mean? Micah had said it was the least. If in those days it had cars and you would have been driving 70 miles an hour in a Lexus, you'd be by Bethlehem before you even knew that it was a bump in the road. It was the least of the cities that were in the territory of Judea. But you see, it's the Holy Spirit you should blame if you do not like the way Matthew quotes Micah. Because you see, it is correct. Because Jesus was born there, it now is a very important city, and not the least at all from a theological point of view. But it also says that Micah had predicted that a leader would come who would shepherd his people. And Micah puts it this way: one will come who will rule as a shepherd. And isn't that our Lord Jesus Christ, the good shepherd who takes care of his sheep? Well, Herod is not done. He calls for a secret meeting in the Oval Office of the palace. And it says, then Herod secretly called the wise men and found out from them the exact time the star appeared. Now, they've been traveling from the east some 500 miles. So when did that star first appear? Ah, Pastor will talk to you in the final part of this 11-part series this coming Sunday and explain those kind of things to you. Why did Herod want to know? Because you know there is something later on that he killed all the babies in Bethlehem 2 years and under. That's significant to note. Well, what did Herod do after he found out about the star and its timing? Well, he sent them, that is the wise men, to Bethlehem. Go and search carefully for the little child. Oh, he wanted him found all right. And when you find him, report to me so that I too may go and bow down before him. Ah, politics was well alive back in that day also, and hypocrites. Well, after hearing the king, they, that is the wise men, started out. And there was a star they had seen in the east. It led them on until it came to stop over the place where the child was. Oh, over the place? Wow, you ever see a star up in the sky? Over what place is it? You can see it right up above you here, and you can walk a mile down the road, and it will still be right up there. That means the star had to have the ability to come down, because it says they were extremely happy when they saw the star, and they went into the house and saw the little child with his mother Mary. Well, how did they know which house if it stayed way up there? I'm one who believes that that star was a special angel sent by God. You know how angels can take different forms in the Old Testament? They can look like chariots and horses at times. Well, I think God sent a star, and then that star came down right over the place where Jesus was. That's why we put those stars on top of Christmas trees, don't we? To indicate where the Christ child is to be. And so it says here that they found Mary, they found the baby Jesus, and they knelt and worshiped him. They knew who he was. He was the special one from God, God who loved the world so much that he had sent the little babe of Bethlehem for them. Then they opened their treasure chests and offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Well, those gifts are very significant. You remember the song, We Three Kings of Orient Are? The gold, for the idea that Jesus would be a king, kings are rich. Frankincense, what went up in the tabernacle and temple into the nostrils of God so he would not smell sin, that was offered by the priests. They burned the incense. So frankincense is to say Jesus will be my great high priest. And myrrh, what does we three kings of Orient say? Myrrh for time of burying. Remember, they embalmed the body of Jesus with myrrh, and that says this little child will die to forgive sins. But how many wise men were there? Oh, people say there were three because there's only three gifts mentioned. Well, earliest tradition always says there were 12 wise men. You see, they would travel in big caravans along with their servants. They had to guard all of the products that they carried for sale or they would have been robbed on the road. So it was a big entourage that arrived to scare Herod in Jerusalem and then traveled on to Bethlehem, and they found him in a house now. They didn't find him laying in a manger. Time had passed, as I told you in the last sermon, last Sunday, that the wise men did not arrive probably for a half a year after Jesus was born, so that Jesus could grow a little bit, because he's going to have to travel real fast to the country of Egypt. Now, as to the future. See, first God got the wise men wise as to the present. But as to the future, he had to give them another signal. The scriptures say, but God warned them in a dream not to go back to Herod. So they went back to their country by another road. They listened. Now, just as God had made the wise men wise, he also had to make Mary and Joseph wise parents. And he did this, first of all, by getting them out of harm's way. There was trouble coming. Death was on the way. Herod would kill anyone who stood in the way of his throne. So it says, after the wise men left, Joseph in a dream saw an angel of the Lord. Luke tells us that it was Gabriel the angel who showed up to Zacharias and Mary before the birth of their children. Matthew doesn't indicate. Maybe it was Gabriel, maybe it was another one of the 100 million angels that God has. In any event, this angel said, get up, take the little child and his mother, he's talking to Joseph, and flee, run, hit the road fast, danger, and flee to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod, once again, we get him mentioned, is going to search for the child to kill him. That's a prophecy. The angel knows ahead because God has told him. And so they have to flee to Egypt. Now, will they follow the instructions? There's the problem, isn't it? We often know what God wants us to do, but we don't respond fast, and sometimes we don't even respond at all in the way that God wants. And so it was God who had to move Joseph to do what he had instructed him. And I'm thinking very clearly here back to the Garden of Eden. Where did all the problems start? It started with Adam and Eve not listening to the instruction. The new parallel to Adam and Eve become Joseph and Mary, who do listen, moved by the Holy Spirit, because God has to save Jesus as a little baby in order that Jesus can save you and me as his people. So it says this: Joseph got up at night. Oh, he didn't wait until the alarm clock went off at 9 o'clock in the morning because he wanted to sleep in. No, they did what the angel told him to do. Get moving now. I think that's probably a message to you and me also, that we dilly-dally around a lot in the Christian church. The time is growing short. We see many people falling away from the faith today. The Lord is near, I believe, and we need to move because God wants more people in heaven. And so it says here, he got up at night, took the little child and his mother, and went to Egypt. Have you ever thought how much faith that took? Here's young Mary, probably by this time about 13, 14, 15. That's how they marry over there. Yet to this day, the woman, the minute she can have a baby, is married off, and the man can be 30, 45 years old. Remember, I told you last Sunday that Joseph was not at the cross. We do not hear a thing about him. He probably was dead by that time because he was much older than Mary. But the question becomes this: why Egypt? There were all kinds of countries he could have sent them to. But you see, there is a great theological message at this point. God had called his people out of Egypt years before. And then they really messed things up for 40 years in the wilderness, didn't they? Now he needs to call another Israel out. That's a special name for Jesus, by the way, in the Bible. He is called Israel. He's got to call a perfect one out so that he can redeem his people. And Matthew picks this up. Notice what it says here. He, that is Joseph, stayed there in Egypt until the death of Herod. And Pastor will cover that with you on Sunday, where the angel comes to Joseph and says, get moving now again and go back to the promised land. Well, in this way, because of the fact that Joseph and Mary and especially Jesus was moved to go to Egypt, well, something was fulfilled which was spoken by an Old Testament prophet. What had the Old Testament prophet said? I called my son out of Egypt. Now, I remember when I was at the seminary, everybody connected this prophecy with Hosea chapter 11, verse 1. And then they criticized Matthew again and said, that prophecy in Hosea wasn't about Jesus. It was about the time that God called his people out of Egypt years before. Well, the problem is they picked up the wrong prophet. They picked up the wrong prophecy. If you want to see the fulfillment of God calling his son out of Egypt, even though Hosea can be a type, if you want the direct prophecy, you have to go back to Numbers chapter 24, and the prophecy is spoken by a false prophet, the prophet Balaam. And every time Balaam opened his mouth to speak a curse on God's people, God turned his words around in his mouth, and he spoke a blessing. Let me read you the blessing from Numbers 24. Speaking of Israel, God's people, it says, he, that is the people of Israel, irrigate with bucket and irrigate his seed with plenty of water. In other words, the blessings of God were always upon the people of Israel because he had to keep them alive so Jesus could be born from their people and fulfill the prophecies. Now the prophecy changes, and you have to be very alert. It says his, that is Israel's king, will rise higher than Agag. That's a reference to Jesus. He's the king that is coming to Israel. And his kingdom will be raised high. Some people say, well, David rose high. Yeah, and then the kingdom fell under Solomon, didn't it? So it didn't last. It wasn't a kingdom forever and ever and ever. When God led him out of Egypt, didn't we just read from Matthew, I called my son out of Egypt? There's the prophecy. When God led him, that is Jesus, out of Egypt, Jesus, he had strength of a wild bull. Now, if you're going to apply that to Israel, you are in big trouble. Israel did not act like a wild bull out in the wilderness for 40 years, groaning and moaning, oh, we have no bread, we have no water, we have no meat, no food. That does not look like a wild bull that is on the charge. That sounds like one that is in retreat. This is about Jesus. He will devour nations. And Jesus has, just as Daniel predicted, he said that Babylon would fall, Persia Media would fall, Greece would fall, and even Rome would fall. But in the days of the Roman power, the Christ would be born. And that's just how it happened. And then the little stone that rolled along and knocked over that big statue in Daniel, and all the nations came crumbling. But the stone grew and grew and grew into a great kingdom. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever, we say in the Lord's Prayer. And it says, he will devour nations who are his enemies, crushing their bones and piercing them with his arrows. In other words, he will rule as the king. He crouches. More about Jesus. He crouches and lies down like a lion, and like a mature lion, who will rouse him? Who's going to mess around with him after he has eaten? Ah, that picks up Genesis 49, where Jesus is called a mature lion. And then what is he called in Revelation 5 to match our window here at Bethlehem? He's called the Lion of Judah. And nobody messes with him once he rises from the dead. All power and a kingdom are given to him. And then Balaam ends with this. Blessed is he who blesses you, and cursed is he who curses you. And Balaam got cursed later for all of his work. Which takes us right back to our theme for tonight. Are you wisely alert to your 2015 surroundings? Wow, what a year 2014 was. Heads cut off by Issa. Riots in the streets and protests. Ebola. All kinds of natural catastrophes in weather around the planet. Fulfilling many things that Matthew 24 says will happen before Jesus comes back. But our question becomes, what does 2015 hold? Now, if you're a fearful person and you're all worried about those bank accounts and how it's been predicted that January 28th will be the end of America and all the things that are being said out there, and who knows, maybe Jesus will come back at midnight tonight and ruin the ball coming down on Times Square. People are so interested in celebrating the unimportant things compared to the great feast in heaven that is coming up. But God calls us tonight, on the eve of this year into the new year, to have faith. Didn't the wise men have faith? They followed that star and they said, man, how much farther we got to travel. And then they saw the star again and they were happy. And then they get the message, don't go back to Herod. Do it a different way. Well, they had to travel like Abraham in faith, as did Mary and Joseph and Jesus. To travel like Abraham had traveled to Egypt during the famine, they now travel down there, and they've never been to Egypt. What's going to happen? Well, they had to trust that God would take care of them and would call them back. And that's how you and I have to travel into the new year. If you're going to travel in there waiting for the politicians to solve all the problems of America and of Russia and China and everything, you're going to be waiting a long time. The middle of the verse of the Bible, the middle verse of the Bible says, put not your trust in the best of men. Trust the Lord. And that's the advice we have to tell you. Our Lord Jesus Christ won the victory. The world's going to tell you he didn't exist, or you can get there in another way through another God. Don't fall for it. The world is full of lies. Hold on to the basic faith, for Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. We travel into the new year with our Lord Jesus Christ, trusting him as the great King who did come, still reigns, and will be back for us in his name. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you are searching for a Bible teaching church, come and join us at 7500 State Road in Parma. See our website for our current schedule. Go to benefitfromthebible.com. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.